Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios, the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 54. See rules and enter for free at Rocket Mortgage Squares. And, of course, we continue to preview Super Bowl 54. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio as we can't wait to get down to Miami for the big game. Earlier in the week, we did have Chiefs legend Priest Holmes. We also had a three-time Super Bowl champion from the San Francisco 49ers in Randy Cross. And right now, we stick with the offensive lineman theme, going from Randy Cross of the 49ers to now a Pro Football Hall of Famer. And that was with the Kansas City Chiefs from 1993 to 2006. And that's Will Shields, kind enough to give us a few minutes right now on CBS Sports Radio. Will, it's Zach Gelb in New York City. Thanks for the time, and how are you?
No problem, man. I'm doing great.
That's got to be a fun time for you, right? The Kansas City Chiefs in the big game. What were the emotions like last weekend seeing them advance to the Super Bowl?
It was awesome. You know, it was one of those things where you get a chance to watch them. You were there for the last game, you know, last year. And basically trying to figure out, okay, can we get that last game in so we get a chance to play for the big ring? And that's what's excited about it. The city's on fire, which is great, and everybody's excited about what they've done and what they can do come up here this week or next weekend.
It's so neat when a team gets to a Super Bowl, and that week leading up to the game, we look back at the entire franchise's history, and a lot of former players are on Radio Row next week and doing interviews. It's cool to kind of see that brotherhood that you guys had with those Chiefs teams kind of get recreated in this run. Do you feel that right now?
Always. You know, it gets you, you know, sort of revigorated. You get some guys in there that's playing unbelievable football. Of course, you get us as critics to sit here and analyze every little thing that's happening, regardless if it's good, bad, or indifferent. But it also gives you that chance to sort of re-energize yourself into what has been accomplished for those guys, but also the things that, you know, you got a chance to be a part of.
You probably are happy in the era that you played in from 93 to 2006, because you mentioned those critics. Back then, it was only in a newspaper. Now everyone has access to you via Twitter. You're probably happy to be in the era that you played in, right?
Oh, most definitely. Definitely happy to be in an era that I was. I mean, with all the other stuff that's going on, it's unreal. I mean, there's not too many things you can do that somebody else hasn't seen, videotaped, or actually sent out some way in some sort of social media. So, yeah, I'm definitely ecstatic that I played in the era that I played in. This would be a lot more difficult time to have what you have now compared to what we had back in the past.
More money, though, now. That's the big positive.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, anytime you get something and the product becomes a little more visual and seen and everything else, there is that more money piece of it that comes along with it, too. But also, as they say, as you make more money, there's more critics out there. There's more things you can and cannot do. That's for sure.
From a health perspective, how are you feeling these days, Will?
I'm doing great. I can't complain at all.
Hall of Famer Will Shields here with us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Next weekend, too, on Saturday, they have that deliberation period as we try to figure out who's going to be the new Hall of Fame class. I know it's a little bit different this year with other names that have already been announced with the Centennial class. But take me back to 2015, the day that you got that call to the Hall. What do you remember about it?
You know, it was one of the longest days you could ever imagine. I think the one that felt as long as that was when you were waiting to see if you're going to get drafted or what team you're going to get an opportunity to go out and try out for. You know, it's one of those things where you're like, okay, I'm not sure what's going to happen. And then they say, hey, are you in your room? Are you here? Are you there? What's going on? You know, and that's one thing that makes that day even longer is because there is a specific time that you have to be around the hotel or in your room or what have you. And then, you know, I was through it a couple of different times there, and, you know, you're like, okay, am I going to get that knock on my door, or am I not? Or am I going to get a phone call where somebody, you know, calls in and goes, hey, I'm sorry you didn't make it in this year, but you made the final list. You know, we hope to see you next year, that kind of thing. And, of course, while I'm sitting in the hotel room, my phone rings, and I pick it up, and I'm going, oh, okay, well, did you get your order for your room order? And I'm going, stop calling my phone. Like, you're freaking me out here, man. Don't call my phone anymore.
So you were ordering room service. Do you remember what you ordered that day?
Oh, I can't remember what I ordered that day, man. I was just sitting here in there. You know, they called back like twice. So they brought it one time, and then they called back like, oh, did we forget your order? And I'm like, man, don't call my phone, because I know what happens when they call the phone. But then I got the knock on the door and got a chance to see David Baker there. And, you know, it's one of those things that's sort of surreal to say that, you know, that you're part of this unique class of people that have been able to perform at a high level. But I also say, you know, there's a lot of guys that went along with me that forces you to be who you are and to be the best you could be and that kind of stuff. And it's more of the accountability of being around those guys that made you work as hard as you did to be, you know, a pretty good player, a better player than what you really thought you could have been on your own.
Your career speaks for itself with the 12 Pro Bowls and how you conducted yourself on the football field. We knew you were going to get in, and there's nothing really you could do about it once you end playing. It's out of your hands. It's all subjective in the Hall of Fame process. Did the process at all ever get under your skin in terms of the weight that you had to go through for a little bit?
Of course you do. I mean, that's anything else. If not, if you say you did, you're not human. At least I don't think you're human if you don't go through that process and understand that, you know, when you're before that point, you don't really think about it until somebody goes, oh, yeah, well, you could actually become a Hall of Famer. You're like, yeah, right, whatever. And then you get on the final ballot. You get to that point where you go through ballot to ballot, and you get to the final ballot, and you're going, wow, well, I guess I could be one of these guys that could get one of those gold jackets. And then when it doesn't happen, you go, well, what happened? What did I do wrong? What was the process? So then you start, you know, second-guessing the process and everything else. But, you know, the thing of it is that there's so many talented guys out there that did great things in the NFL that are deservingly so to be in that gold jacket and to get to that next rung. That then you start walking across the street with other guys and you're looking at like, oh wow, this guy didn't get in or that guy didn't get in. And, you know, some guys have waited 30 and 40 years to get their opportunity, and yet you were on the final ballot. You got a second chance and then a third chance. Then you finally get on and you're going, wow, man, you know, this is a unique, you know, group of guys that you're actually already a part of. Knowing that there's other guys out there that, you know, had those chances that had them slip through multiple times, and, you know, you can't wait to get those guys in with open arms. So I think it's great that the Centennial is trying to get a lot of those guys back in that caught up that should be in, because they've all accomplished great things. Anybody that's on the ballot that's actually made it, you know, to that point, that's what you know, that they've contributed something great, something honorable to a league that's actually helped change the lives of so many different people.
You look at some of the names of the offensive lines that you're able to play on as we're talking to Will Shields. You know, I remember Willie Rofe and Brian Waters as well. How competitive were those offensive line rooms, Will?
Oh, they were very competitive. I think the one thing about it, though, is it's a unique room because within our room, we are one of those groups that are supposed to be seen and not heard. You know, we're not supposed to be the brass talkers or basically, you know, do all the other stuff. We're just supposed to do our job because we contribute to a bigger thing beyond what we can do, and we can only do it if we all do it together. But inside of that group, you know, we used to have this thing, left side versus right side. And I'm sorry, some days we pull our center right, and sometimes we pull them left. But we did have that external thing of like, you know, hey, man, you really want to get in the yards, you need to run to the right side. We don't need to go to the left side. We need to do this and do that. So we put that within our room to have our own little honor system, which made a big difference, you know, which makes you push each other to be better.
Now, we had Priest Holmes on earlier in the week, and he said the first year he made it to the Pro Bowl, he invited the entire offensive line to the actual Pro Bowl, and it cost him quite a pretty penny. Anything you guys used to do on the offensive line in terms of exchanging gifts or any other gifts that stand out to you that the running backs used to get you?
Well, you know, the running backs did a great job of getting his, you know, little trinkets and gifts and things of that nature. You know, both of our guys that were back in the backfield, they gave us, you know, we got watches from them at 1 year. And then the quarterbacks was always the ones that would get us different things. And I think one of the, you know, most unique one was the one that Joe Montana gave me my first year to sort of set the tone. That's one we'll discuss offline, not online, but it's really cool what he did for us as an offensive lineman. But yeah, that's what's really cool about those guys that would do those gifts and take, you know, hey, you appreciate what you've done and what you've put together. But what Priest didn't tell you about that story is that actually Priest said, hey, it's a team effort. So we've gotten a chance to get to this Pro Bowl through all of you. So all of us guys that were going, we're going to help get all of you guys to the team. So invited the whole team to the Pro Bowl. And so at that point, guess who became the coordinator to help organize all of that crap?
I'm going to assume it's you.
So
you become the chaperone.
So it's at that point where you actually, you know, you go into the, at that point they had Chiefs Travel. You go in there and go, yeah, we need to try to figure out how to get all 65 guys to the Pro Bowl and that kind of stuff. So we devised a cool plan where the guys had to pay a specific stipend, and then we would try to take care of the rest as a group, and as many guys could go went. And that was one thing about it. I mean, that really sort of set us as, you know, what a true team was. It was a group. It was everybody together. Now, of course, it took Priest to sort of set the tone, but at that point we had like 7 or 8 guys going that year, so that helped quite a bit. So it was a lot of fun. It was a blast. It was something unique that you can always have as one of those stories of, you know, how close and how close you were as far as pushing each other to be better.
That 93 season, your first season, that's the first year, as we're talking to Will Shields now, the Pro Football Hall of Fame offensive lineman, the first year that Montana is in Kansas City. We all know what he did with the 49ers and the legendary career that he's had. What do you remember about meeting Joe and just that first season in general with all the transition, seeing him go from the 49ers to the Chiefs?
Well, you know, with having Joe Montana in the building, it made a whole different sort of feel. You know, you've been through high school, you've been through college, you've been on teams where you had guys that were electric, that could pulsate things throughout, you know, an organization. But when Joe Montana hit the floor, it elevated everyone else's understanding of what it's like to have somebody that could come in and change your organization. I think it was even to the point to where we even changed our fields from turf to grass because, A, he was not going to play on that turf and get hurt. So, you know, that's one of those things of, hey, these are the things that you have to do to be a top-notch organization and try to push your way through it. But also, he just taught us how to actually be a pro, you know, be confident in what you do, but understand that, you know, the fans and everyone else is just as important as everything else as a group, with having him and having Marcus and having all those guys that have been through it, that were sort of, they call them the twilight of their years, but it was the best light for us because we could learn how to be a true pro, and where we wanted to go and how they did it is how you wanted to do it.
I don't know the last time you talked to Joe, but have you guys had a conversation about Mahomes? And if not, just how about what Mahomes has been able to do in his young career? Because each and every week he makes an unbelievable play.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing of it is some of the things he reminds you of, like the first week that you were at camp. I haven't talked to Joe about, you know, what Patrick's been able to do. But the whole thing about it is that he does some things that are Montana-like. And you can see it on the field. It's the stuff that he does is the same stuff that, you know, Montana did when he was in the huddle. I mean, those were just like, you know, when you're in the huddle with Montana and Peyton Manning and all of those guys, they have a different command of the huddle. They have a different thought pattern of what they do. And they're, you know, they're willing to change some things and work through it to win. And that's what you see from them. And so you see, you know, some of the similarities across the board. And, you know, the thing about it is I say the game is a bunch of eras. Every era is different because of rules and changes and everything else. So you can't help but become better and be more proficient and to do and to set records and do things that haven't been done before, because it's changes every era of what you can and can't do also. So you have to reinvent new ways to get done what you did before.
You know, everyone in this matchup coming up next Sunday is going to be talking about this Chiefs offense going up against this 49ers defense with that defensive line with Bosa and Ford and Armstead and Buckner. As an offensive lineman perspective, how do you try to slow down that pass rush that the 49ers have?
Well, you got to, you know, do some of the things you've already been doing. You have to, you know, make make that defense, you know, try to figure out what's going to happen next. I mean, is it a screen? Is it a draw? Is it a reverse? Is it, you know, different things or different parts of your offense that they're going to have to prepare for? You know, are we going to try to do, you know, one-on-one with Tariq by himself and then you have Kelce and those different things? Make sure you utilize the whole gamut of the weapons that you have to sort of keep that defense a little at bay. I mean, we can't go back and drop back 20 times and put, you know, or I should say 50 or 60 times in a row. Maybe, you know, maybe that's not the process. Or if you do, we know, you know, you got to get the ball out as fast as you can and do some different things. I mean, you sort of have to keep it rolling, keep it guessing, and do what you've done to get here. You can't change that game plan, but you have to do some little things to slow them down here and there, whether it's chipping and stuff like that.
Last one for the Pro Football Hall of Famer, Will Shields. When you look back at your career, we talked about the Hall of Fame. You're also a Man of the Year Award winner. You played your entire career in Kansas City. When you look back, what are some of the things that you're most proud about in the way that you played the game?
You know, I think one of the things is that I can say that, you know, for the 14 years I was there, I had an opportunity to play with some of the best guys throughout the NFL. And the thing that was cool is that I got a chance, an opportunity to be a person that says, I can say I played every game with every guy I could possibly play with. And that's one of the coolest things ever to say is that, you know, any guy, any starting lineup that we had or what have you, you was always a part of it and see the changing fold between different guys and different things to say that, you know, I got an opportunity to play a sport for a living. And that's one of the coolest things ever.
Well, hey, Will, we always appreciate the insight. Thanks so much and be well. All right. We appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. You have a good one. Peace.
Great stuff with the Pro Football Hall of Famer Will Shields there with us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Let me remind you that we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios, the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 54. See rules and enter for free at rocketmortgagesquares.com. When we come back, the Browns just don't get it. We'll delve into that next. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio.
Can you imagine Freddie Kitchens gets hired? First day he walks in, Odell started it, hashtag Team Gettleman. That would be a shirt that Freddie Kitchens would wear as he puts on his clown nose and his clown shoes, his clown's hair, and everything associated with clowns. He made the Cleveland Browns turn into the Cleveland Clowns.
Here's Zach Gelb.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. All right, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio, top of the hour. Gus Frerotte is going to join us. We'll get back to the phone lines in just a moment. I have to talk about the Cleveland Browns. We all know the dysfunction and the joke that the Cleveland Browns were this past year. And it's unfortunate because Browns fans deserve better. And when you look back at this Cleveland Browns season, you remember it for the high expectations and a team that middle of the season you knew they were not going to make the playoffs and maybe their coach is going to be gone at the end of the year. You also look back at that season and remember the disgusting act by Myles Garrett when he swung the helmet at Mason Rudolph. You remember the Browns season for Baker Mayfield shaving his beard or whatever was on his face three times in a game. You remember it for all the Baker Mayfield commercials. You remember it for Baker Mayfield being rude to that reporter, Odell and Jarvis Landry at times not being happy, and an abundance of other issues. Even in the offseason, the Browns or players on the Browns can't get out of their own way. They should be silent this offseason. We shouldn't hear a word from the Cleveland Browns. There should be nothing negative being reported about the Cleveland Browns. When you were a team that did that much talking and had that many high expectations and people laughed at you the entire season and you didn't deliver, I don't want to have one ounce of any negativity with the Cleveland Browns in this offseason. And I was reading today that Kareem Hunt, who at this point should be an angel Nothing wrong should ever happen with Kareem Hunt if he's serious about continuing his NFL career and having this long NFL career. And Kareem Hunt got a traffic citation, and there was also marijuana found in the car. Now, I understand we could dismiss the marijuana. Is it that big of a deal, an NFL player driving around his car with marijuana? And most of the times I would say, not a big deal. But Kareem, you were just suspended for 8 games. You got kicked out of Kansas City because of that disgusting video where you were kicking and shoving a woman. Why would you even put yourself in that situation? If you really need the marijuana, have someone deliver it to you. Don't be driving around with it. And if you already had it in your possession, and let's just say you were taking it maybe from your home and you had to smoke somewhere else, you should not be smoking and driving, having marijuana in your car to begin with. And I'm not saying you're smoking and driving, but why would you be driving around with marijuana in your car? Even if you're going someplace, I don't know, maybe you're going to a buddy's house. Yeah, I'll bring some marijuana. Why would you put yourself in that situation? Just out of the chance that you get stopped, and I don't know what the traffic citation was for, but just out of the chance you get stopped, you can't put yourself in that spot. You need to have a squeaky, clean record and image because people already had it with you, with what you did, and you're on your second chance. And this is what you do? This is a story in the Browns offseason? Enough. Enough. The Cleveland Browns can't get out of their own way. And it's a team that I want them to do well, because that fan base deserves a good competitive football team year in and year out. And the Browns this year were the clowns. That's what they were. They were a laughingstock. They were an embarrassment. They were a big, fat joke. So this offseason, why would you put yourself in that situation? Why, if you of all people are driving around with marijuana? It's dumb. You are rich and famous enough where you could go have your friend Jim or whoever pick up the pot and bring it to your house if you need it. Or if you want to go out to a friend's house, someone else could bring it to that house. It shouldn't be you. And once again, if this was Kareem Hunt with no record or nothing wrong that happened before, all right, he got arrested with marijuana, big deal, you move on. If that's all it was and there was no smoking and driving or any of that. But with what you are trying to overcome, with what just happened, you can't put yourself in that situation. So that's an awful job by Kareem Hunt. And then I'm also reading today, and this is with the Browns as an entire organization, that the football team is going to raise prices for a segment of season ticket holders. If we were able to rewind this show, I know radio.com has a feature. I don't think it's for CBS Sports Radio, but all the local affiliates, where you could rewind the show. What I would do right now is tell you to rewind the show and play the sound effect and just listen to all the embarrassing things that I just listed for the Cleveland Browns. Even if this was your plan and you were waiting for the offseason to announce it to raise season ticket prices, even if it's for a minuscule amount of season ticket holders, I don't care. Understand optics. Your fans stick with you through thick and thin. And there's not a lot of thick. All right? You know, with Belichick after that game, when the reporter asked that dumb question, like, well, what do you say to your fans that stick with you through thick or thin? And he goes, well, there hasn't been a lot of thin. For the Cleveland Browns, there's been a lot of thin. Their thin is what the Patriots' thick is. And for the Cleveland Browns to have the audacity, even if it's for a minuscule amount of tickets, to raise season ticket prices, you're spitting in the face of your fans. You don't raise season ticket prices after a year where you were expected to go to the playoffs. You fired a coach after 1 year. You fired your general manager. And your team didn't give your fans anything positive this year. I don't care if it's an increase of $5. You wait till next year if you actually have a respectable product on the field to raise those season ticket prices. And Browns fans are so loyal, they're going to pay it. They're going to still show up. They're going to still say, here we go, Brownies, here we go, hoo, hoo. That's what they're going to do because they are great fans. But they deserve a winning product, and they also don't deserve to see their season ticket prices go up. And some people say, why are you losing your mind? It was a $5 per seat increase, 55 to 60, 65 to 70 in some of these tickets. It doesn't matter. It's the optics of it. Today, the headline is Browns to raise prices for a segment of season ticket holders. And then people like me see that, and other people see that, and they say, you're raising your season ticket prices after you were an embarrassment this year? Bad look, Cleveland. Really bad look. Be better. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Jason in Iowa, he's next up on CBS Sports Radio, listening on 1490 AM. Jason, what's happening, man?
Hey, not much. Just listening to you chat about the old Antonio Brown and mental issues or whatever. And my thought is I completely disagree with that. I just think he's an adult making poor choices. As far as where do you hold that bar on mental illness or whatever, my Down syndrome cousin Mikey or whatever, he's mental illness. Antonio Brown, 100%, just an adult making poor decisions. Stupid decisions. I mean, the word
What I'll say to this, Jason, and yeah. What I said about it, too, was that you could be a bad guy and still have mental health issues. You can make bad decisions and still have mental health issues. I'm not blaming all of Antonio Brown's problems on his mental health issues. And something, though, has changed with Antonio Brown is what I'm saying, because this was once a great story, and now you just see the way that he is on all these Instagram videos and all that, and you look at it and you say, something's just not right with him. And I think it's just silly of the attorney to just dismiss right away that he doesn't have any mental health problems and he's just misunderstood. Well, if he doesn't have any mental health problems, then you're right. He's just a really bad person, and he makes really dumb decisions. But when I look back at this, and I appreciate the phone call, Jason, when I look back at this, I think there is a mixture of both. Like, if you had a Venn diagram, on one side, there is mental health issues with Antonio Brown. On the other side, there is also him, several cases of him just being a bad human being. And then both of those sides meet in the middle, and there's mixing and matching with all of it above. So you can have a little bit of both. But I really do believe that, and I'm not saying right away it's CTE, because I don't know the extent of that. And you can't diagnose it yet in someone that's living. And there's many people that had CTE that were living, and we find that afterwards, and they don't make bad decisions like this. There's people that have put in an awful spot from a health situation, and they don't act like this. But still, with all that being said, I do think there's something more to this problem, and Antonio Brown needs help, and I hope he gets that help. And then if he gets that help and if he doesn't want to listen, he has to deal with that, and he has to deal with the consequences. So I'm not going to dismiss the mental health issue. I heard Colin Dunlap with us talking about CTE as well last night, and everyone's entitled to their own opinion. And it could be a mixture of both. This could just be a really bad human being too. And I'm not saying it was always squeaky clean with Antonio Brown, but this used to be such a great story. This was an out-of-nowhere story. And it seems with all this success, he hasn't been able to handle the success because people keep on telling him how he's the greatest thing in the world, and he thinks he's invincible. He thinks he's untouchable. And you see it by his actions and the way that he reacts to certain things. You sit there and go, what type of human being acts this way and thinks it's okay? So I don't know exactly what's going on with Antonio Brown, but for his attorney today to say, oh, yeah, it's not mental health, he's fine, he's just misunderstood, I don't agree with that. And the mother of his children doesn't agree with that, and his former agent doesn't agree with that either. When we come back, Onsides, Offsides.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is The Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
15 minutes to the top of the hour across our great CBS Sports Radio affiliates. It is the Zach Gelb Show, as we do every Monday and Friday. We play a little game that I like to call Onsides or Offsides. Tom DiBenedetto.
Hit it!
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
Mikey B, what say you? What do you got for me?
All right. Joe Montana spent 13 seasons with the 49ers, winning 4 Super Bowls and 3 Super Bowl MVPs. His last 2 seasons were in Kansas City. Onside or offsides? Is a Joe Montana Chiefs jersey the most out-of-place jersey in NFL history?
You gotta fight for your right to party. Every time the Chiefs have been mentioned this week, that soundbite of Travis Kelce is the only thing I could think of. But your question was, sorry, my mind just kind of blanked there. Joe Montana Kansas City Chiefs jersey is the
most out-of-place jersey in the NFL history.
Yeah, it's pretty out of place, except you have Unitas with the Chargers, very out of place. Favre with the Jets, out of place. Emmitt Smith with the Cardinals, out of place. If you see an Antonio Brown jersey with the Raiders and Patriots team colors on it, out of place. Thurman Thomas with the Dolphins? Yeah, very out of place, especially since he's a Bills legend. Torrey Holt, remember him with the Jaguars? You probably don't. Why? Because it's out of place. So Montana's out of place, but there's so many here. So I'll go offsides. Montana's not the most out of place NFL jersey with a Kansas City Chiefs logo on it.
Offside.
Number 2.
The Super Bowl has always taken place on Sunday, but a New York teen is attempting to change that. A 16-year-old has started a petition to move the Super Bowl to Saturday. The petition has more than 30,000 signatures. Benefits to a Saturday Super Bowl: there'd be no school or work the next day for most Americans. Onside or offsides? A Saturday night Super Bowl would be better than on a Sunday night.
This seems like a smart 16-year-old, because he's getting a petition with over 30,000 signatures. Can't you just be a regular kid, go out to the movies, sneak into a rated R movie on a Friday night, maybe go ice skating? I don't know, whatever 16-year-olds do now. Here's the part that he's missing, though. It shouldn't be, let's get it on a Saturday because we all want to have a fun, relaxing day where we sit around on the couch all hungover, or we just sit around and enjoy the night before and stay up late and all that. No, no, no. My friend, what you should do is you should advocate for Monday to be a day you don't have to go to school. Now, we would have to be here working, because why would we want to miss the day after the Super Bowl on a sports talk radio program? But you should advocate for your mother, your father, your relatives, your aunt, your uncle, whoever. One day you're going to be working, my friend. So you should advocate for the Super Bowl to remain on Sunday, but make Monday a national holiday. Please change your petition. Monday, national holiday. That way we work, we get an extra floating day that we could take off randomly in the summer when all we have to do is talk baseball for 4 hours. So please, please, please change your mind, kid, and get everyone, get your troops together and make a big push for the Monday after Super Bowl to be the national holiday. So moving the Super Bowl to Saturday, stop it. That's not American. Offsides.
Offside.
Number 3.
Earlier in the week, we talked about that wild brawl between Kansas and Kansas State. And Bill
Self, chair down.
I'm trying my best, but I can't. Bill Self said he never considered removing Silvio De Sousa from the team after the brawl. He said, "I can be mad at him or say things to him in private setting that the media won't be privy to. But if my son or daughter makes a bad emotional decision in the heat of the moment, I don't stop loving them. He's ours, and I'm proud that he is. Onside or offsides, Bill Self never consider removing Sylvia De Sousa from the team was the right decision.
I'm going to change this question around a little bit. Oh, wait, was the right decision. Okay, good. Perfect. Perfect way to put it. One more time. Just read the question one more time.
Bill Self never considered removing Sylvia De Sousa from the team after the brawl is the right decision.
Onsides, the right decision. People make mistakes in life. What he did was really, 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 really stupid. And sometimes when you make mistakes, you lose your job, you lose your scholarship. I don't think we needed to suspend this kid for the entire rest of the regular season. They ended up going with 12 games. I thought that was a fair punishment, and now it's up to that kid to learn and be better from that punishment, and hopefully he will be better, and hopefully he will actually show remorse. I know he released that apology post and all of that, but I don't think we needed to kick the kid off the team. He made a really dumb decision. They got lucky that it didn't get as ugly as it could have been. Then this could have been a different conversation. Take your 12 games, learn from it, and I never want to hear anything negative from him again while he's at college at Kansas. So onsides, I'm okay with Bill Self never thinking about kicking him off the team, and I do think it is the right decision. By the way, real quick, let me interrupt you, and I'll be polite. Mike Dingman, who listens to our show, to the Joe Montana question, he just posted a photo to me. He tweeted a photo to me of Jerry Rice in a Seattle Seahawks jersey. That could be the winner. That is as awkward can be. Jerry Rice in a Seattle Seahawks jersey. Next question.
Until it's Brady Chargers, then that'll be the new one.
Shut your mouth.
All right, okay.
Shut your mouth, Mikey B.
The New Orleans
Pelicans. Do you want me to tip you next time you do an Uber Eats delivery order?
The Pels started the season 6-22.
I'm actually annoyed about that. You know how much I want Brady to return to the Patriots, and you have the audacity on a Friday to say that he's going to go to Los Angeles Chargers?
I'm just saying that would be the new winner because he was really good for New England.
Yeah.
The Pels started the season
with explanation was that?
Well, he won these Super Bowls.
Stop it.
All right. The Pelicans started the year 6-22. They've been better. They're now 17-29. We saw the return of Zion. Laker Brandon Ingram has been awesome as well, averaging 25 a game. The Pels only four back of the 8th seed, which is the Spurs. New Orleans making the playoffs, onside or offsides?
Right now, the Pelicans are down 4 points to the Denver Nuggets. That game is in the early stages of the second quarter. Load management. Zion Williamson is going to have some load management going on here. They're going to be pulling them out of games. That's going to come back to have an effect here in this situation. I'm going to take the field on this. I'm going to go offsides. The Pelicans do not make the playoffs this year.
Offsides.
And finally, Houston Texans defensive end J.J. Watt will host Saturday Night Live. Watt not only appeared in the movie Bad Moms, he also co-hosted the CMT Awards back in 2016. Onside or offsides, there is no better choice in the NFL currently than J.J. Watt. He is the best possible choice as a host for Saturday Night Live.
Did you ever see Bad Moms?
I've not. Oh, yes, I did. I have seen
Bad
Moms.
Did you not? Only you could answer that.
Yes, I forgot that I did. I have never seen Bad Moms 2.
Was it good?
It was very good.
Wait, there's a Bad Moms 2?
Oh, yes, there's a Bad Moms 2.
Is there a Bad Moms 3?
I don't think so, but Bad Moms is actually really good.
Really? I've never seen it. I didn't even know J.J. Watt was ever in a movie.
I don't remember that part, but yeah.
D-Ben, have you seen Bad Moms 1 or 2?
No, this is all news to me.
Okay. So J.J. Watt, he's the best choice out of all NFL players to host Saturday Night Live. I guess I'll go onsides. Brady's already done it, so I'll take him out of the equation. Peyton Manning is retired. Eli Manning is now retired. So J.J. Watt has a presence. He could light up a room. I have a great J.J. Watt story, actually. I think I'll have enough time to squeeze it in here real quickly. J.J. Watt, we were standing at Radio Row, and it was New Orleans. Beyonce comes into the room, and she is doing an interview with the NFL Network. Everyone stops and gets up as if the president is coming into the room. She sits down on the NFL Network set, and her behind is facing myself and J.J. Watt. I'm standing next to J.J. Watt. He looks at me, and like I didn't even realize that. I was like, oh, wow, it's Beyonce. Let me get a photo. He goes, we got the best view in the house. That is what J.J. Watt said to my father and myself at the Super Bowl. And he was not wrong. So that's good comedy right there. That's perfect for Saturday Night Live. Zion Williamson, by the way, 9 points, 4 of 5 from the field, has not attempted a three-pointer yet. And the Nuggets are now up 52-46 in this second quarter. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Gus Frerotte going to join us next. Time for Picks with Gus.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.